Please turn your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Been looking and studying and preaching about who the Holy Spirit is and His ministry to the church, to us on Sunday mornings. And this morning we'll be looking at beginning to look at spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, there are other lists in the New Testament. This morning we will be looking at Romans chapter 12. Let us pray. Lord, You are God alone, unchangeable. And Lord, we do praise You and adore You this morning. And Lord, as the church, may we realize that You have given each and every one of us a gift or gifts to serve You, to bring You glory. So Lord, I pray, Lord, that You'll just move in our hearts and lives. And Lord, may we be very attentive to what You say through Your word. Please use me. I'm nothing without You. Lord, we live in a time where busyness and selfishness and other things takes Your place, and it's so evident in our society and even in the church. So God, help us, Lord, to return. Revive us. May there be a renewing of Your Spirit in our lives for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul begins verse 1 of Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore. This word beseech means he is encouraging and urging with urgency when he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, speaking to the church, brothers and sisters in Christ, the born again, brethren, by the mercies of God. Aren't you glad for the mercies of God? And we serve Him because of His mercy and His grace towards us. And He's beseeching by this mercy of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Folks, what you do in your body matters to God. Look at me. What you do with your body and what you do to your body matters to a holy God. He gave you that body. And even our body, soul, and spirit is presented to God as born-again believers. And we are living sacrifices unto Him, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, when they would sacrifice animals, they on the altar, there were hooks. They called them flesh hooks. And the flesh hook, we would call them a meat hook, but the flesh hook was on the altar to keep that flesh, that sacrifice, from slipping off the altar. Praise God, we're living sacrifices, amen? We're not just some clump of flesh up there, but the problem we have, we want to tend to slip off the altar. We need some hooks to keep us on the altar so that we can be living sacrifices. You see, we need the hook of devotion and commitment. We need the hook of relationship with Jesus, the hook of worship. I believe you cannot truly worship God unless you're serving Him with your gift. That's why it's so easy to stop worshiping God, because you're not serving Him to start with. We're living sacrifices, but we tend to slip off the altar. Well, Lord, I would teach. I have the gift to teach, but I don't want to commit to be a living sacrifice. Because I want to do my own thing instead of serve you. Lord, I would witness for you, but I don't want to come across as someone that is a Jesus freak. Lord, I will do this or I would do that, but I really don't want to commit to it because I want to do my own thing. Y'all awful quiet. I would sing. I have a voice that you've gifted me with. But I don't want to be committed every Sunday after Sunday singing specials in the praise team and in the choir because I do not want to be a living sacrifice. Get those hooks out of me, God. That's what you're saying. I don't want to be hooked. Everyone say, Brother Evans loves me. I do. Christ loves you. He loved the church and He gifted you to serve Him. A living sacrifice. You know, we can't even find deacons anymore. Why? Because the young men will not commit themselves to come to church. We can go on and on. A living sacrifice. It's your reasonable service. Why is it reasonable? Because God has graced you and given you mercy. Present yourself a living sacrifice. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. You see, that's the problem. When you're not hooked to the altar as a living sacrifice, you know what you're doing? You're being conformed to this world instead of being transformed by Jesus Christ. So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we are to think soberly, a renewing of our mind, a repentive mind, a change of heart and mind towards the things of God and serving Him. So think soberly. Let's read verse 3. For I say, through the grace, that word grace, the Greek word is charisma. We get the word charismatic. That's not some new term. It's a New Testament word. It means grace. It's a grace gift God has given you. Charisma. Given to me, to everyone who is among you, and not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. In other words, don't be prideful. Don't think more highly because God has given you the breath that you just breathed. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So think soberly about it. Some would say, well, I'm not worthy to serve God. I'm not worthy to serve with my gift or gifts. Then some say, would be very proud and say, look at me, look at my gift. Matter of fact, I'm so good with my gift, serving God in a little old country church is not good enough anymore. I want to go big. And it's a gift God gave you. You see, the one who thinks you're not worthy, God is worthy. God, the God who gave you the gift, He is worthy to serve Him with that gift. By the way, none of us is really worthy. So we need to think soberly about our gift. Think it through with your gift. And it says, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. See, your gift is for the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ, to serve Christ in His church. And all of us are different. Amen? We don't need two Dan Atchisons. Hallelujah. We don't. We only need one Cooper Baptist Church in Vernon Parish. We only need one East Leesville and one First Baptist. I believe this goes with churches too. A church needs to find its gift or gifts and serve God with them. You as individuals need to find your gift. God has given you a gift. Find what you like to do and serve God with it. Don't think more highly than you ought to think. Think soberly. Because if you're a mama called preacher, you ain't going to make it. If you're a mama called deacon, you're not going to make it. Or some lady who said she had the gift of prophecy pointed her finger at you and said, you're going to do this someday. She don't even know you from Adam. And so you go through life saying, I ought to sing solos the rest of my life in the church. And the rest of us is like this when you're singing. That's not your gift. Sing in the choir, sing in the congregation. But if you can't sing, solos is not your gift. If you can't teach, then teaching is not your gift. Find your gift. Don't think highly than you ought to think. And it's between you and God. If it's a God-given supernatural gift, you will be at ease when you're doing it. At ease. So, your gift is for the body of Christ. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. When you're not serving God with your gift or gifts, it hurts the body. It hurts us. Did you know that? The rest of us get tired when the others are not serving God with their gifts and talents. Many times, we try to force people too. Why? Because there's so much to do and so few doing it. It's a lot like the animals that went to school. I heard this story about animals who went to school and it was a climbing school, a swimming school, a running school, a flying school for all the animals. Well, the duck could swim very good and the duck could fly real fast. That duck couldn't run. So they taught that duck to run. Said, quit flying, quit swimming, but get on this treadmill and run, run, run. Well, they taught the duck how to run a little bit. That's all he could ever do. But then it got to where he couldn't fly as well, nor could he swim as well as he used to. Why? Because he was working very hard at running. And then they found the eagle. The eagle could fly. I mean, could soar. That eagle couldn't climb very well. So they had to teach that eagle how to climb and to run. And then the eagle got to where it couldn't soar like it used to. But it could climb a little bit. And so on, they were training these animals in this school of training. Then the poor turtle couldn't do much of nothing except hide in its shell. Well, they decided to teach that turtle how to run a little bit. So to teach that turtle how to run, they took the shell off of that turtle, and that turtle was doing okay till the horse stepped on him. Pretty silly story, isn't it? Why do we do it in the church? Why do we do things like that in the church? I believe, according to Scripture, God has given you a gift or gifts. And if it's a God-given supernatural gift, if you just seek God with it and start serving God, you will know what your gift is without someone saying, "This is your gift." Because we don't know if it's your gift or not. If you have a close relationship with Jesus and seeking Him and being a living sacrifice, it'll be a supernatural gift to serve God with. Every one of you has one or many of them. And you're not happy. You're not satisfied unless you're serving Jesus with your gift. So quit searching for happiness out yonder trying to be conformed with this world and serve Jesus if you want to be happy in life. Get busy serving Him. We get here to the gifts. Start serving with the things you like to do. I promise you, God will not zap you if you mess up a little bit. And you'll know if it's your gift. Do you have to work at it? Yes, you do. Personal testimony. When I was in school, I was friends with everybody. But for some reason, after I graduated high school, went in the Air Force, I got so shy that I couldn't talk to nobody. Very shy. I don't know if it's because they made fun of the way I talk, because I was around a bunch of Yankees in the Air Force. I don't know why, but I got so shy that I couldn't talk to people. But somehow or another, I don't know why they did it, but they put me in charge of teaching woodworking classes. Not big classes, but just little hobby stuff. And I started doing that, so I started talking in public. Then I was teaching Sunday school. Brother Roland, then I became a music youth minister. Everyone laughed. Boy, I could call out page numbers, but I was serving God. I wanted to be a missionary. That's what I wanted to be. Then I took a Spanish class in college. I said, no. You got to know English to learn another language. So that wasn't for me. But I wanted to serve God. And for some reason, you got me. But I believe I'm serving God with what little gifts I have. And I promise you this, He'll do the same for you if you're a living sacrifice. Let's get into these gifts. There's differing gifts. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace, the charisma that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. God has given us all faith. He's given us all a measure of faith. You serve God with the measure of your faith. Prophecy, or prophesy. What is this? This means to declare truth. It's to be persuasive. It's a desire to declare the gospel. You be good at going on mission trips, the kind of mission trips that you share the gospel. It's prophesy. Also, the next gift that is mentioned, or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. So what is ministry? It's service. It's meeting practical needs is meeting spiritual needs in a practical manner. That is ministry. It's serving others. The next gift is he who teaches. In teaching, what is this gift? This is clarifying truth. If you have a desire to teach, you have a desire to search out truth and to clarify truth and to tell others about the truth. That's teaching. The next gift is he who exhorts and exhortation. This gift is to stimulate people to love Jesus. It's to stimulate people to grow in their faith. This gift is good at soul winning. The next gift is giving. He who gives with liberality. We're all called to give, by the way. We're all called to be witnesses and to share the gospel. Some are gifted at it, but we're all called to give. This gift is the ability to accumulate assets and to let others use those assets in the kingdom of God. That's the gift of giving. The next gift of the grace gift is called, it's he who leads with diligence. Another word for lead is ruling in other translations. Now, this is not being the big shot. In a church, to be a leader in the church is a servant leader. That's what it means. And it's one who can organize or to lead people to a common vision or a common goal and see where that the group needs to go and be very patient in leading them. That's the gift of a leader. Another is he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So this is a person, the gift is caring or being to feel empathy with someone who is hurting. You feel what they're saying, and yet you're doing it with cheerfulness because you're doing it to the Lord. If you did not do it with cheerfulness, when you hear everybody's sorrows and everything that's going through, by half of the day, you're down yourself. So be cheerful in the Lord, and this is a gift of caring or showing mercy, and all these gifts is given by the Holy Spirit to glorify Jesus and to edify the church, to build the church. Gifts. There was a young prince, an Indian, a prince from India, gave Queen Victoria, I have it written down, 186-carat diamond. He was a young boy when he did it. Gave this queen of England this rock of a diamond as a boy. When he grew up and became a man, this prince, he went to London and asked the queen if he could see the place where this diamond was. She said yes. So they escorted him, and everyone started wondering, I wonder what this prince is up to. Is he fixing to ask for it back? Because he was just a little boy when he gave it to the queen. But they go to this place where the crown jewels are, and there's that huge diamond. Then he asked the queen, can I hold it? Then everyone started thinking, oh, he's fixing to ask for it back. I wonder what the queen's going to do. She said yes. So this man holds this diamond that is worth no telling how much. And he's holding it. And he looks at the queen and says, "Dear queen, I gave you this as a little boy. And I didn't fully grasp or understand the meaning of it and the worth of it. But now that I'm a man, and I fully grasp and understand what I have given to you, I want to present it to you again as a man with that understanding." Maybe you gave your life as a living sacrifice. Maybe as a young child. Or at a time that you didn't fully grasp what you was giving to Jesus. The worth of your life. But now that you understand, and the full significance of your understanding of your gift or gifts that He's given to you, just maybe you need to re-give or recommit. Because look in verse 1 with me one more time, will you? "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." See, you fully understand yourself. You fully understand the meaning of it. You can present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. I promise you, if you present yourself a living sacrifice, there'll be no doubt in your life what your gift or gifts are. You're seeking God's will this morning? Serve God with your gift. It says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to know God's will for you? Here it is. And it's serving Him with your gift. If you do not know Jesus as personal Lord and Savior this morning, that's the first thing you need to give, is your life to Him before He can give you a gift to serve Him. Will you do that? Will you give your life to Jesus? Born again believer, my brother, my sister, will you serve Jesus? Will you quit sliding off the altar and serve Jesus? Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you again for your precious word. Lord, we're headed for eternity. And we live in time and we give our time to so many things. It don't give you not much time at all. God, we repent, confess. Help us, Lord, to bring you glory and to edify the church with our gifts that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.